I want to talk about Jägermeister. Dad, what do you know about Jägermeister?
I mean, well, really, all I know, it's got a really awesome stag logo. What else do I need to know about Jägermeister?
Well, you should know that you've been drinking it all wrong this entire time.
Damn, that's cold. There's a right and wrong way to drink it?
Yes, there is, Dad. You should be drinking it ice cold, at 0 degrees Fahrenheit, to be exact.
Well, you know what? That explains a lot. I've just been pulling it straight off the shelf.
Oh, Dad, I'm so glad I got to you in time. No, that is entirely wrong. The only way to serve Jägermeister is ice cold. So wherever you're at, if you're hanging out with friends, or you're at the bar, or you're helping your dear sweet father try and get right, call the shots. Cheers with ice cold shots of Jägermeister. Damn, that's cold. And remember to check out Jägermeister at www.draftkingsxjagermeister.com. Remember, drink responsibly. Jägermeister liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume, imported by Mast Jägermeister US, White Plains, New York. Lots of things are better together. Hockey, food, golf, synchronized swimming, tailgates before a college football game, late night karaoke, especially late night karaoke. There is nothing better than a duet of summer love, and I can assure you that. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. In my sports career, we always got preached the importance of the little things, whether it's having your hand behind the line on a sprint, finishing out every drill, or making sure you have the right 6-inch step to start a drive block on the offensive line. It all mattered. How you do the little things is how you're going to do everything, because small actions have big benefits. This is just like how taking care of your gut health can support your whole body health. With our friends at Seed and Seed's DSO1, their daily symbiotic benefits your gut, skin, and heart health in just 2 little capsules a day. I'm getting my first shipment on the way here, and I am pumped to try it out. The thing that stands out to me, in addition to all the great health benefits, is the convenience. You don't have to refrigerate DSO1, and so the free travel vial that I'm going to get with the welcome kit, I can take on the go with me. I can have DSO1 with me wherever I need it during my busy schedule. Your guy's gut is the central hub for all these various pathways throughout your body, and a healthy gut microbiome means benefits for digestion, skin health, heart health, your immune system, and more. And everything with DO1 is backed by science. Lots of science. It was developed in collaboration with Seed's scientific board and based on their foundational work in probiotics and the microbiome. And with the new clinical trials and breakthrough research published in top scientific journals, Seed's probiotic research, development, and innovation programs make DSO1 a product you know you can trust. And the best part with prebiotics and probiotics, they work best when they are consistently used like any other routine health habits. So Seed's subscription service is easily going to build DSO1 into your routine with no refrigeration needed. So trust your gut with Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/gojo and use code 25GOJO to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/gojo, code 25GOJO. Good morning. This is a podcast with DraftKings here. I am Mike Golic Jr. With me as always, producer, co-host, man, the myth, the legend, Brandon Jarrell Newman. Brandon, how we doing?
Good. I'm in LA. feeling really good. It's like David Ortiz back in Boston. This is a home game for me.
That is true. Brandon lived in LA for what, 5 years, 4 years?
Yes.
And has not stopped telling me about how to live in Los Angeles since he got back in here. He spent a lot of time telling me directions to places I already knew how to get to, and routinely told me that apparently Los Angeles is the only place where people day drink on the weekends during the summer. So,
only place. Bloody Marys on football Sundays. Unless you've lived it, you don't understand it.
those who know do, and those who don't, they wouldn't know how to. Joining us here for the podcast, we're excited to be out here in Los Angeles for All-Star Weekend for Major League Baseball. We're doing this live on YouTube right now. Obviously, people will hear this Monday when it drops too, but it wouldn't be All-Star Weekend if we didn't get to visit with Jared Carrabas. You guys can hear him, Baseball is Dead, the Jared Carrabas podcast as well, talking Red Sox. And Jared, I would ask how you are, but unfortunately, I already know the answer.
I'm terrible. This sucks. So, I don't want to be in Los Angeles. It's too hot. The Red Sox are not well represented in this All-Star game, and they just got blown out of the water in back-to-back games against the New York Yankees. Having a terrible time.
Okay, and you haven't mentioned Chris Sale yet. So
Chris Sale broke his hand in the first inning. I mean, by the way, it's fractured. Which is worse than just being dislocated. So we probably won't see him for the rest of the year. Like, we're out of the playoff picture right now. This is just, I'm just not having a good time.
I'm going to give you a brief reprieve on that because at some point we're going to have to talk about it.
Sure.
We're going to have to work through what this means for the back half of the Major League Baseball season. But for the live audience here, we did tease this before, and I want the payoff on your review here because Jared Carrabas had never even known what a churro was.
Never heard of him.
Here until about 24 hours ago.
Had no clue.
One of my favorite things is to always imagine the first person to ever do anything. Like the first person who figured out we could drink milk from cows.
Brave.
The first person that figured out that eggs were something that could be a part of us. Like
Brave.
Pioneers, a lot of things had to go wrong first and then go right. Jared, you learned just conceptually what a churro was 24 hours ago. You had one a half hour ago on Blind Faith Alone, which I applaud you for. What was experience like?
It was like a stick of fried dough sponsored by Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Mm.
Okay.
That's what it was.
And so, like, did you... Those all sound like good things, but I want to confirm you enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it. I mean, I probably put it down faster than Emerson did, and he's, like, a big churro guy.
That is true. What's one thing I've known about Emerson Lazio, a big churro guy.
Yeah, he loves it.
Take that however you want.
Yeah.
Now, before we get off food and before we get to the Red Sox, I do want to cheer you up. I have a good friend who's a longtime listener, first-time caller. I said, how do I cheer up Jared right now? We're about to go live on the podcast. He said, remind him that it's National Ice Cream Day.
Oh.
Wow.
Wow.
What
is there someone that wants to go get me an ice cream? Because I'll eat it.
Yeah. He'll do it now. He's already eating a churro. He's blood drunk.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I just went over there to go get like some candy. I love ice cream.
That's impressive.
Yeah. You're in
good shape. Like, you don't look like us, so
no,
I wouldn't have assumed that.
No, yeah. I'm not a calorie counter over here. I'm just like, you know, if there's ice cream, let's eat it. But what are your thoughts on mint chocolate chip ice cream? Because I feel like people shame me for that being one of my favorite flavors because they're like, oh, it's just toothpaste ice cream. You're wrong. It's delicious.
That's some basic bitch shit right
Thank
there.
You.
I don't want to cuss.
All right, as I said, there's children in the crowd.
I didn't want to cuss.
I see the children.
We
apologize to the young ears
of
out
all
here.
Ages.
There's a baby in the audience.
But to say
sorry
my
to your
favorite
baby.
Ice cream flavor is mint chocolate chip is like saying my favorite coffee is pumpkin spice. Mm.
Which on basic?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Dude,
okay.
I'm with you on this firmly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mint chocolate chip, one of my favorite flavors. Mm. I think people are just looking for... It's like when people make fun of Nickelback. They're just doing it because everyone else does it.
Correct.
There's a couple of good songs in there.
There's more than a couple.
That's fair.
By the way, Nickelback, this was when the Angels were trying to break their losing streak, and they had all of their walk-up songs were Nickelback songs.
That's right.
I went out on a limb because everyone was hating on it, and I was like, excuse me, angry mob, but Nickelback has a ton of bangers, and they tweeted me back.
You got tweeted by Nickelback?
And on Instagram.
Oh, my
and
God.
Yes. Yeah.
And they say that a hero can save us.
That's what I'm saying.
His name is Jared Carrabas.
Is that the same people that, hey, I want to be a rock star?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I like them.
If
I like
you've
them
ever heard, now, I understand, a lot of people mix up Creed because it's the same sort of like guttural.
Yes.
Creed also has some hits.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Human Clay, one of the greatest album covers ever made. If you don't know it, look it up. It's terrifying and wondrous all at the same time.
Yeah.
Speaking of terrifying and wondrous, unfortunately, we do have to talk about some of the baseball stuff that happened today.
We don't have to.
We don't. Yeah. But
we can talk about anything else in the world.
We'd like to hear a little bit about it.
You know, for anyone that may not have been here watching Jared's pain in person, the Red Sox, it didn't go well against the Yankees on Sunday. Chris Sale breaks his hand after, as Jared termed it, 1.1 starts back in after being injured, being a part of the hope coming off of what was a tough June for the Sox, to put it politely. So, Jared, going into All-Star break now with what we saw happen today, what has this done for your outlook on the rest of the season for the
Sox? See, this is the worst time to ask me these questions because immediately, like, I'm always super negative and super reactionary. So, like, you're going to ask me a question like that. I'm going to be like, sell the team, trade everyone, like, move the Red Sox to Las Vegas, like, get them out of the city. Like, I'm just angry. I'm angry, and I'm emotionally reactive right now. So I think, like, maybe in an hour or two, I'll be able to give some sound logic. But right now, I don't even want the baseball team in the city anymore.
I feel like the best takes come from a passionate mind.
Nah, I'm a big-time, like, self-hatred torpedo guy. So you put me in a situation like this where I feel like we're really in trouble, I'm just going to be like, let's blow it up. I don't even like baseball anymore.
Well, I was going to say, we were talking over there, and you were saying, and I'll be curious how this ages with you, that the Red Sox went from, you know, about a month ago, firmly ahead in the wild card, a team that was on an upward trajectory. Now, you think they could actually be sellers at the deadline here? Like, that's not out of the realm of possibility.
That's not out of the realm of possibility, yeah. I mean, like, because the deadline is now, you have a whole, I guess, what, it's the 17th? Yeah, yes. You've got, like, 3 weeks to go. Things could get much worse. I mean, they have still, going into the All-Star break, have not won a series against an AL East opponent.
Wow.
You just lost your ace again. And, yeah, the injuries keep piling up. And you keep, I mean, there's other teams, like the Baltimore Orioles, the Seattle Mariners, I believe, are winning again right now. They're about to win 14 straight games.
They only know how to win. That's all they know.
Yeah, it's not good when all the people that you're hoping to get a wild card spot over are noticeably better than you right now.
All right. It's a sobering dose of reality here.
I literally am about to change my career to cover golf instead. I don't even like golf. Yes. It can't hurt me.
I mean, the Open was compelling today, and a guy with a mullet just won. So, and who's he's trying to stuff beers. Cameron Smith.
Never heard of him.
Guy with a mullet. As Emerson told me, moved to Jacksonville, and not coincidentally, then started to develop the mustache and the mullet as his preferred look. So, people are talking about it.
Mullets are in. Mullets are back.
Mullets are very much back.
I think that's safe to say.
We talked about this the other day on the podcast. We talked with Katie Nolan, who you know very well.
By the way, she was just throwing jabs left and right. I listened to the whole thing, and I was like, wait a second. Well, Katie Nolan, like, let's relax here for a second. She kept wanting to move on. I was like, no, talk about me more. And she wanted to keep...
Oh, yeah, you wanted to
make sure. She's like, enough about him. And I was like, no, more. More.
There's never enough about you for
us. That's what I'm saying.
Never enough.
Right.
That being said, we did discuss a lot of Major League hair.
Yes. Dansby Swanson came up, rightfully so.
Yes.
So, all right, I want to run this by you guys. I have dubbed Dansby Swanson the best hair in baseball. And every time that I say that, people will reply and be like, what about Jonathan India? What about Corbin Burns? I mean, just because it's longer doesn't mean that it's better. Length doesn't always mean that it's better. Like, people are saying, oh, what about Noah Syndergaard? If you take Noah Syndergaard's hat off, like, he's kind of bald a little bit. He looks like...
We don't use that word on this podcast.
I'm sorry.
We do not use that word on this podcast.
Some of us had a different power make that choice for us in our late 20s, which was a tough time for that to happen, let me tell you.
You chose
their
that life.
Choice, Jerry.
I could promise you I didn't. And as someone with a father who, when he is 6 feet deep, that hairline will still not have moved. Try doing a show in the morning with your now almost 60-year-old father who's got a hairline like a 21-year-old. I promise, the comment section, not a place you want to live.
Jeez.
Yeah, I'm
bald
sorry.
Is beautiful, though. Bald is beautiful.
It is. It's a good look. Thank you. I'm so hurt.
Says don't bald be. People.
Did you not see the video that I tweeted you? I put the bald filter on. I was like,
I don't hate this.
I'm not going to lie. It messed me up a little bit because I thought for a second you had lost a bet first or something.
I said that.
And
I
was like, oh, like... Mm-hmm. It's going to be really weird when me and Jared show up like Spider-Man pointing meme here because a couple of bald, bearded, tattooed white guys is kind of a lot for one podcast space. But
I didn't hate the look. I mean, it's not that I would just jump to it and be like, all right, let's do the bald thing. Yeah. But if, God forbid, I had to shave my head.
Well, you also have...
It wouldn't be so bad.
You can do it because you also have a full beard and... a sleeve.
Right.
They're called distractions.
Yeah. So it's accoutrement, if you will. I don't want to make the same mistake that Katie made, and I want to stay with you.
Okay.
Because as we've walked around this beautiful city with you, we've heard a lot of, stay hot, Rocket.
That's right.
Stay hot, Rocket. Mm-hmm. Hey, Rocket, stay hot.
All day.
Now, I want to give the chance for the Gojo audience for you to illuminate them on how you got the nickname Rocket, how people around baseball encourage you to stay hot.
Do you want the real story or the fake story?
I think we have time for both.
Yeah, the real give us the real story.
The real story?
Let's end with the fake one, though.
All right.
We'll come back to the real story.
So Dallas Braden does Baseball is Dead with me, and he did the old show with me since 2017. It's like our sixth season doing it. And if you don't know, Dallas Braden, first of all, he looks like Animal from the Muppets.
Yes.
Great character.
But God, once upon a time, he played Major League Baseball, and he threw a perfect game on Mother's Day for the Oakland Athletics. So he used to do a Sirius XM radio show, and I would come on as a guest all the time. And Dallas, very straight, serious guy. Like, he loves his baseball, but sometimes it's just not the time for jokes. And we're talking, and he, I forget who he had on as a guest, and it was him talking to some other former player, and they're trying to, you know, talk about their major league experiences together. And I knew that it would irritate Dallas, and I was trying to compare my high school accomplishments to their big league accomplishments that they were talking about, like the no-hitter mentality, like, you know, when did you know, like, when did you first realize that you had, like, a perfect game going and blah, blah, blah. So this is actually true. I threw a no-hitter for Babe Ruth All-Stars. Pretty big deal. 6-5-0-4. Never Talk forget that. 13 wow. strikeouts. Last out was a strikeout, too. Hammer curveball.
How many people in attendance?
Thousands.
Damn.
Probably.
Thousands.
Wow.
You know, they're talking about, like, the mentality of, like, you know, when did, how did you bear down for a no-hitter perfect game? And I was like, dude, I can totally relate to that, man. Like, it was like back when I used to pitch, like in high school, you know, they would call me the Saugus Rocket. And part of the story was true. Like when they would, so the way that, say this is home plate, right? And then you have like the third base line going this way.
Uh-huh.
So the parking was like the headlights, the cars would park this way up against the fences.
Mm-hmm.
And they would put the K cards on the windshields.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, that was cool. Yeah. So I thought that was cool.
That was cool.
And as I'm telling Dallas this, they're no selling this story. No laughs.
No,
like, that's cool. And I was like, all right. They used to call me the Saugus Rocket, too. They didn't. I made that up. Okay. I made that up, but that's...
You were trying to find a good punchline for it for the end of the story?
If they had just acknowledged how cool the K-Cards thing was, then that nickname probably never comes to light. But
so
I had to...
So thankfully they were bad teammates there?
Thank God.
No, I'm saying Dallas.
I know, I'm saying Dallas was not a good teammate there.
Yeah, he totally no-sold that story.
And so now you've got this nickname.
Correct.
Wow.
Self-appointed.
Like Black Mamba.
That is true. One of the very few self-appointed nicknames that actually
stuck. Yeah, and it's really cool. Like, I mean, out of all the things that you could be called, like, imagine, like, going on, like, a date to Fenway, and it's like she's just hanging out with you for the first time. You're walking around the concourse, and everyone's like, what's up, Rocket? And you're like, what's up, guys?
I mean,
how you guys doing? You doing all right? Yeah. Why do they call you Rocket? I'll tell you later, babe.
Wow.
Tell you later, babe.
Anyone else just get chills, or is that just me?
I mean, I think he just described how I felt when somebody was screaming Rocket at him. I was like, ooh.
Ooh.
I'm with the Rocket right now.
That is true.
Totally made up.
A lot of power right there. Well, and I mean, that kind of power, like, you told us a story before about your meeting with Aaron Judge.
Correct.
As we talk about the Yankees today here.
Yeah.
I need you to retell that one, because you have ascended to a place now where you are not only a man of the people, but a man of the stars, and you had to dish out a little bit of a reminder.
Yeah, I had to check Aaron for a second. Yeah, so first of all, speaking of Aaron's, that meeting started because I was talking to my close personal friend, Aaron Boone, manager of the New York Yankees.
We've heard of him.
So we were at batting practice, and I'm talking to Aaron, ask him, how's the ticker? Because remember, he had the heart surgery. I haven't talked to him. Got the chance to catch up with him. We're talking about Clay Holmes, the new closer of the Yankees. And I'm talking, this guy's got turbo sinkers. He's throwing 99. You can't touch it. And then this guy, Aaron Judge, decides to walk up and interrupt this conversation.
Rude.
First of all, I'm like, excuse me, sir. I'm talking to Aaron Boone right now. Like, I get it. You're excited. You want to hang out. You want to talk. That's fine. Wait your damn turn. Okay.
Wow.
So then this guy has the gall, Aaron Judge. He's like,
temerity.
Excuse me. He calls me Mr. Rocket. I was like, okay. Woo. He's like, excuse me, Mr. Rocket. He's like, I know this. I don't know if this is appropriate or not, but I'd love to. Can I take a picture with you? And I looked at him in the face and I said, Aaron, I'm working right now.
Ooh.
Like, do I have the audacity to walk up to you when you're in the batter's box trying to get a base hit a home run, and ask you for a picture? And he said, you're right, Mr. Rocket. That's tremendous perspective that you just bestowed upon me. He apologized, and he walked away, and that was it.
There's a certain level of professionalism you brought to batting practice that Aaron Judge, forgot, apparently.
Just didn't have it that day. He just didn't have it that day.
And, you still, you had called him. You said he's the face of Major League Baseball right now, according to you. That was the take.
You know what?
Did you say that?
I said that.
That was the take. I heard you talking to our good friend Emerson Lazzia on the show.
You said
Aaron Judge. That was your hot take, was the face of Major League Baseball. There's a lot of Yankees fans in the crowd right now who want to know, are you still standing by that?
Are there any Yankee fans here? There's a couple.
The crowd roars.
Yeah, there's a large woo here.
There's a couple. Yeah. How's Duke doing?
Relax. They're also Notre Dame fans. We need them to be happy, right?
Yeah.
But no, I really did shake. I shook his hand. Aaron Judge came up, shook his hand.
Still for you, the face of baseball, though. That's the take you're going to run with still?
So he was the number one vote getter for the All-Star game, which is we're here now. And I thought that was appropriate given the season that he's had individually, the team that he's on this year, what they're doing. It made a lot of sense. But so I was watching. This is what I do on like trips like these. I don't go out. I don't like go to like clubs or bars. I just watch YouTube videos in my hotel room. So I was watching a Shohei Ohtani YouTube video last night while everyone was out having a good time. And I guess like the top 10 most rewatched clips of last year were all Shohei Ohtani. Just like everyone, like no one can get enough of the guy. Like he's international, domestic.
We heard that stat the other day when he went to the Marlins. They had an uptick, but like 11,000 or 19,000 more fans than their normal
attendance.
Their
average attendance was like 7,000, and I believe they got between like 18,000 and 19,000 people there. Yeah.
Show babes different.
He's the real deal. But yeah. I also found out, this is really cool, back in his hometown in Japan, so he wears the number 17, the 17th of every month is Shohei Ohtani Day in his hometown.
Shohei Day.
He has his own day once a month.
That's star
every
power.
17th. Yeah.
In Japan.
That's crazy.
The more you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you could bring that to the States, and I would happily adopt it. He is a joy to watch.
But who's worth that? No, who in baseball is worth that?
Ooh. Who in baseball, if you could give them their own day
every day
of the month, every once a month, if you could give one player their own day as a holiday, who would it be?
Barry Bonds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
By the way.
Thank you.
A congratulations are in order here.
Thank you.
Yes.
Jared Karabas got the follow back from Barry Bonds. And
finally.
If you
don't know. On Instagram.
Can you explain to them just how much work went into this moment for you? Because this wasn't something that happened flippantly. This was years of hard work that you put in.
Literally years. So I've always wanted to know, and I still, I mean, just because he follows me, I haven't gotten the whole backstory. But I want to say this started in 2017. Every time Barry Bonds posted a picture on Instagram, I would comment in 10 seconds and say, "You the man, Barry." And I did that on every single picture he posted for 5 years.
Dedication. People don't know that dedication.
Go look at
his
Instagram right now. You the man, Barry, in all caps on every single picture that he posts. All caps. Within 11 seconds, I had his post notifications on. So I would try to get the comment between 10 and 20 seconds, no more than that. Okay. You the man, Barry. And for 5 years, he never commented back. He never even liked my comment, nothing. And then last Sunday, I was with Jake at my apartment. We were about to record, and I just looked at my phone and I gasped. I was like, and they were like, "What?" They're like, "What, dude? What happened?" Like they thought something bad happened. I was like, I couldn't speak. And then I ended up taking a screenshot of it. I was like, I need to type this with my fingers. I can't verbally demonstrate what just happened. Like, I don't think that you'll. It's almost like you wanted to tell your friend something cool, but like you don't trust that they'll have a proper reaction to
it. Oh, it's like
when you're not going to cry, I'm not telling you, dude.
Right.
It's like when you play a song that you like for someone and they're scrolling their phone and minute
right.
in.
Right.
Yeah.
Devastating
feeling. Like if you're not about to be on the verge of tears, I'm not telling you right now.
Yeah.
Like,
it's different
don't
reading,
ruin the moment.
Reading information than it is hearing it. You're going like, oh, you have to sit with it a little.
Do not undermine what just happened in my life.
Right.
So Barry followed me on Instagram, and my theory is that we did a DraftKings commercial that ran during Sunday Night Baseball, Red Sox-Yankees.
Ooh.
Okay.
So my theory is that he was just sitting at home watching Sunday Night Baseball, and he was like, you know what? I think that's that dude that keeps commenting on every single one of my pictures.
He
I
put
think
it
that's
together
him.
Right there.
Yeah. I think he just thought I was a crazy person. And he was like, wait a second. that's the guy. And then he looked at my Instagram finally for the first time in 5 years. Crazy that he never blocked me.
Like, that is true. Well, you're not going to acknowledge it. Camp, because I figured there probably are a fair amount of people associated with running a guy like Barry Bonds' social media.
Yeah.
But Barry
it's not like he has a ton of followers, though. He's got like 120K or something like that.
That's
surprising. Yeah, like he sees it.
He doesn't seem like a blocker type, though.
He sees it.
Yeah. He doesn't seem like he would. Another theory, alternate theory, what if he just follows people from commercials? Like, this first time he followed Frank Thomas.
Maybe he
was
loves
on
commercials.
The Extends commercial, and he was like, oh, look. Frank Thomas.
That is true.
I don't know what it was, but I'm dying to know the story. Like, I want to know, like, dude, you let me comment on every picture you posted for half a decade, and you just let it sit out there. You never said a word to me. You just made me feel like I was a ghost to you. And then, boom, you made my life.
I really want, personally, for you to get the story why. I think the greatest story for us would be for you to never find out, though.
Yeah.
For it to just exist in the ether.
Right.
Yes. And that's a message to the kids that left. I cursed and all the kids left.
Yeah, you did scare away.
They ran out of here.
Under 16 portion.
Don't give up.
Don't give up. Yeah. If all else fails, comment on their picture again. Again.
Become a shit poster.
Right.
That I can promise you is the pathway.
So now,
to
like, I'm
here.
Kind of in a position where it's like, all right, now that he followed me, he hasn't posted since then. If he posts again, is the job done, or do I keep doing it?
DMs wow. now, right? DMs?
Ooh. So I DM'd him during the pandemic in 2020, and he just read it on Sunday. So
that's the cruelest part about DMs is they have the raid receipts on there.
Yeah.
Which I believe if you've got raid receipts on your cell phone right now, you really are trying to attack your loved ones. That's a terrifying move, and I can't support it in general. I don't know if you're a raid receipts guy or not.
No, I'm no receipts.
All right, there we go.
Yeah,
The way it should be, but social media takes that away from you.
I agree. It's terrible.
So you know he read it, though, which is good.
I know he read my message from 2 years ago.
Contact has been made.
Yeah.
Contact has been made.
I don't know what I'd do. I don't know what I would do. By the way, like, I've got two white whales left.
Ooh.
Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens. And when I came to DraftKings, Roger Clemens responded to, like, the announcement video.
No way.
Like, hell yeah. Yeah. Roger Clemens.
But didn't follow back.
No, he did.
Oh, he did? Okay,
oh, yeah.
All right, there we go.
The
OG, out of the way.
The real Rocket.
So your white whale is to, what, get him on the podcast?
Yes.
Okay.
There we go.
I would say you already got contact with the white whales.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Guy hooks in. Now just got to reel him back into the boat.
We're knocking on the door right now.
Reel him back into the boat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oof.
I want to talk about Jägermeister. Dad, what do you know about Jägermeister?
I mean, well, really, all I know, it's got a really awesome stag logo. What else do I need to know about Jägermeister?
Well, you should know that you've been drinking it all wrong this entire time.
Damn, that's cold. There's a right and wrong way to drink it?
Yes, there is, Dad. You should be drinking it ice cold at 0 degrees Fahrenheit, to be exact.
Well, you know what? That explains a lot. I've just been pulling it straight off the shelf.
Oh, Dad, I'm so glad I got to you in time. No, that is entirely wrong. The only way to serve Jägermeister is ice cold. So wherever you're at, if you're hanging out with friends, or you're at the bar, or you're helping your dear sweet father try and get right, call the shots. Cheers with ice cold shots of Jägermeister. Damn, that's cold. And remember to check out Jägermeister at www.draftkingsxjägermeister.com. Remember, drink responsibly. Jägermeister Liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume, imported by Mast Jägermeister US, White Plains, New York.
All right. Well, Jared, we appreciate your time. We're going to let you go cool off after this entire Red Sox ordeal. On the way out, I do just want to ask you, big picture, coming out of the All-Star break, give me two things you're most excited about down the back stretch of the season. Two teams, players, what are you most looking forward to coming out of the All-Star break this weekend?
Two things.
Two.
Number one, my close personal friend Aaron Judge, I want to see if he can pass Roger Maris, 61. I want to see if he can hit 62 home runs. I think he's at 33 right now. I don't know why I'm looking at 33. He's at 33. If he can hit 62, I want to see that. The other thing, America's team, our Seattle Mariners, can they get back to the postseason?
Talk about
for the first time since 2001. They're about to win their 14th consecutive game. I believe that ties a franchise record, or it might ties it. Ties it. I don't know why you're the stat guy right now.
It's good to have a stat guy.
Just a quick point.
Stat guy? Yeah.
It's a great system, though. Point, thumbs up, we're in.
I mean, you could just be lying, and I'm just like, I just need a little bit of conviction, and I'll go with anything that you say. Yeah, so the Seattle Mariners, if they get to the playoffs, I've never been. It's the All-Star game next year.
Yes.
They're in Seattle next year for the All-Star game. I don't want my first time at Safeco to be the All-Star game. I want it to be a playoff game. Ooh. That's what I want. So,
chills.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to make that happen. The Rise of J-Rod starts this weekend?
Starts tomorrow.
Starts tomorrow.
In the Home Run Derby. He's the dark horse. I love the pick. I'm still going Kyle from Waltham, Kyle Schwarber. But if Kyle doesn't make it, J-Rod has my full support.
Guys, you can catch all of that. Baseball is Dead, the Jared Carrabas podcast. Round of applause from everybody here. Jared Carrabas battling through.
Listen, Gojo's the only place we'll have a baseball expert on and not ask about Juan Soto.
My God.
That ball is hammered to center. Back toward that wall and out of here. Juan Soto with a two-run first inning homer.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, being good enough at anything to say no to $440 million. Pretty good place, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're good at something, it's 440. I think, by the way, he's not saying no to the money. He's saying no to D.C.
Mm.
It's okay. Not a good time over there. Like, yes. You go see the monuments. Like, what else is there to do? You know, have you ever been to D.C.?
I have been to D.C., and you are correct.
Yeah, like, you go see the monuments once. That's about it, really? Like...
You think he's moved before the deadline?
I don't think so. That trade package is going to be so astronomical. And he's worth it, but what it would cost to acquire him, I don't know that any team is just forking that over.
Got it, yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense, but like Brandon said, got to ask the question.
Yeah, got to ask the question. $440 million, slap in the face offer.
Smell ya.
Yeah.
We're a $500 million family up here.
Hard
Thank
pass.
You very much.
Yeah.
My God.
How dare you.
Jared, we appreciate the time, hey, man.
Thanks for having me.
Like a lot of people out there, I'm a big Swiftie. And so as you can imagine, when the Taylor Swift Eras Tour was announced last summer, it was like the Super Bowl for me. I had everything ready to go to give myself the best chance of getting great tickets. My whole family was in on the action. We spent hours in front of our monitors waiting for the link for the presale before the presale so that when we got our chance in line, we clicked the right button at the right time to make sure we had our chance at great seats for this once-in-a-lifetime concert opportunity. Because when you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else is going to get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Gojo. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. So amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Gojo. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Gojo. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
But we are not done, folks, because we are in Los Angeles. And I don't know if you guys have heard of this LeBron James dude, but apparently he's kind of important around here. And that's why we want to bring up our next guest, because yesterday was sort of wild. It was one of those days that was like very cool grassroots moment here. For anyone that's unaware, the Drew League that's played out here, the best pro-am basketball league there is in the country here, extremely well known in a place where we had not seen LeBron James since 2011. And all of a sudden, we started seeing these reports that Kyrie Irving and LeBron James were going to be out playing at the Drew League the other day. And all of a sudden, the person I felt worst for in the world was that poor cameraman trying to document this at the Drew League. Because that man's not paid a lot of money, I'd imagine. He's probably doing this on the side and used to it just being the people there. And instead, he had to document what might still be the greatest basketball player in the world trying to go about his business in a crowded gym. And so, thankfully, we got a voice to help us digest this one.
My brother.
Yes, this is another one. This is a podcast about teammates. For anyone that's new here, I was teammates with Brandon Newman at Notre Dame. We played college football there together. We have known each other since we were 17-year-olds. So it's been quite some time. Brandon and Darnell also have a teammate background here, Brandon.
Yes. While I took my talents to Muncie, Indiana for my fifth year at Notre Dame, while Mike, I think he played in a national championship game against Alabama. They got their ass beat.
We don't need to talk about the final score, please.
Listen,
please,
I was a starting fifth-year nose, and then a bustling freshman starting, well, he played, from Warren Central, Indiana. You guys know that's a powerhouse. Darnell Smith was a three technique playing right alongside me, my brother, and now he's out here in L.A. working for Fox Sports, hosting the Drew League, doing everything. So I was on the plane headed here, saw all the stuff about LeBron, and I said, Darnell, I need you to pull up and talk about LeBron, King James, please. We saw our first Lakers game together, actually.
Yes, we did.
And Staples Center. Was really should be called. Darnell, I'll stop talking and let you speak.
What's up, guys, man? I'm excited to be here, man. How y'all doing?
We're doing great, man. We appreciate you giving us some time here.
Of course.
And so you were in the gym for this.
Yes, like, I was there live.
So how much in advance did you know? Like, because we all saw this start to happen on social media. McManaman and those guys are all reporting on it. How early on did you know LeBron was actually going to be in the gym?
I found out about 2 hours prior to the tweet getting released. So, I'm plugged in at the Drew League. So, I got a call. They were like, hey, Darnell, what are you doing tomorrow? I'm like, I got some plans going on. You know, some double date. You know, we're going to go to the beach with the wife and hang out. What's going on? They're like, well, you might have to change your plans because LeBron James is coming to the Drew League. So, at first, the only message I got was that he's coming to the Drew League.
Right.
We didn't know he was playing. I thought he was coming as a fan just to kind of support the league. So, then, like, 30 minutes later, the same person sends me a text, like, actually, LeBron is playing in the Drew League. So, that changed everything.
Different.
I had to change plans. I had to move things around.
Did you change outfits?
I changed outfits.
You got to change outfits.
Everything. LeBron's on the feet.
Man, oh yeah, LeBron's on the
I had
feet.
LeBron's
oh,
on.
Sorry about that. I know they're heavy.
They were heavy. Especially when you're standing up the entire game.
Oh, yeah, that's the official shoe of Clydesdales for sure. So understand that one. So that you changed the outfit, changed everything up here. Yep. And for the gym, because again, this is an extremely popular pro-am league. Like, biggest in the country, always going to have a lot of fanfare. Walking into the gym that day, how much more ramped up was that energy even than what you normally get?
Listen, this was the most, the craziest day in the Drew League since I've been out here in L.A. I'm telling you, there was not an inch of space to stand, to sit. Everybody in L.A., it felt like, came out to the gym to see LeBron. I mean, it's funny, I pulled up right when LeBron actually pulled up. So, obviously, he comes through the back, black van, tinted windows. People know this is LeBron. So you got fans trying to chase the van and pour their phones out just to capture some moment of him getting out the car. So he gets out. The fans who are outside of the school, they're screaming. They're going wild. LeBron goes in there. He changes, puts on his jersey. And then, so this is another thing that we didn't know. We didn't know he was going to play with DeMar DeRozan. We thought they were going to play against each other.
Oh, yeah, yes.
So once they're on the same team, we're like, oh, it's a wrap. Like, right. There's no way they're going to lose.
Space Jam.
Yeah.
Well, you had them versus Beef Jesus wearing 23 in black on the other side.
Yes.
There was a point guard who looked like he was about my height and weight on the other side there, who was actually low-key nice, but he wasn't DeMar DeRozan and LeBron James, so I felt a little bad for them.
Well, I do want to stay on DeMar DeRozan because you interviewed him for the Drew League last week.
I did.
Right? Now, after speaking to him, would you agree that he wants to come to Los Angeles and play with LeBron James? Do you want? Let me rephrase the question.
After speaking to
DeMar DeRozan,
doing journalism,
would you say that he would like to bring his talents to Los Angeles?
After speaking with DeMar DeRozan, I would say that he wouldn't be opposed to it. Obviously, he loves L.A. He's from Compton. Right. He's been playing in the Drew League since he was 14 years old. So, I mean, L.A. means everything to him. So, if he had the opportunity to come play for his hometown's home city alongside LeBron, yes, I believe DeMar would definitely do it.
And see, this always, everything I look at with LeBron James, I look at through the lens of someone who's always actively cruton.
Right.
Like, we remember those pictures of him at the All-Star game with Steph Curry where they're laughing and slapping each other's backs, and then we hear all those rumors about how maybe Steph would be lured away from Golden State. Boy, did that take age terribly. I don't know who would have said that out loud.
Right.
But, LeBron James and DeMar DeRozan out there putting in work. And LeBron ends up as the player of the game in this one.
He 42 goes points.
42-16 with four steals in the middle of that one. I appreciate Skip Bayless's commitment to Hayton because he brought up the fact that LeBron was 2 of 13 from 3 on Twitter and said that that was still a very LeBron-esque performance.
Right,
with all that, the guy's playing against LeBron James. So, I did a stint in the offseason program with the New Orleans Saints when Drew Brees is the quarterback there. And the most afraid I was every single day was going out to pre-practice because we would do snaps with the quarterbacks. And I'm a third, fourth string guy, so I'm snapping normally to the third and fourth string quarterbacks. But just in case guys get injured during practice, however the rotation works out, you always got to take a couple snaps with each quarterback. And I held my breath during those three snaps with Drew every single day.
I can only imagine.
Like, I must have hit myself in the you-know-what so many times just trying to make sure that I didn't break one of his fingers. Because I'm like, I'm trying to make this roster, and if I break Drew Brees' finger,
no,
they are going to cut me within minutes. They won't wait till the end of practice. They won't wait till cut day. They'll cut me then and there. So right. Were people, like, getting out of the way for LeBron on this one? Were there people trying to make sure they weren't the person in Southern California to hurt LeBron James?
Oh, 100%, especially early on. Like, LeBron touched the ball pretty much every single play in the first half, you know what I mean? And people on the defensive side, like, don't get me wrong, they were definitely competing, but I would say it picked up as the game went. Early on, as you stated, like, the opposing team, they were kind of like, man, listen, I don't want to be the one that messes him up or makes, you know, does anything wrong for LeBron. Because you got to think, everyone was there. Bleacher Report, ESPN, Fox, like, everybody was there covering. So, like, if you are the one to mess with LeBron in any kind of way, it's going to be a bad look. Everyone's going to see it. So, yeah, early on it was like that. But I will say this. As the game got going, it definitely starts to get really intense. There's a clip out there that I saw live with DeMar DeRozan arguing, like, really getting into it with one of the opposing players from the Drew League. Like, they're pushing each other. The guy's clearly fouling them. But at the Drew League, you know, they let them play a little bit. So, like, DeMar's not getting the call. And, nah, it was an intense environment. And surprisingly enough, it was a close game. It went down to the wire.
Right.
Like, they almost lost.
Right. Well, I wanted to ask about that. This other team in the Drew League, they're playing against the Cheaters, LeBron James and DeMar DeRozan. Yeah. Obviously, we know Cheaters win just by margin always. But were anyone on that other team, do you think they're, like, telling their kids about this later on in life? Like, with LeBron James. Or are they going to say, like, I almost busted his ass. Like, we almost beat LeBron. Like, what was the energy for the people playing against LeBron?
Oh, they're definitely send the ladder. We almost bust his ass. We almost beat. Because you got the guy, I can't remember his name, but the guy that was guarding LeBron from during the game, he was getting cooked. So I'm going to be real.
The ball dude. He was been zooming cooked in on his eyes on Instagram all weekend long.
But in his defense, I will say the media didn't fully cover it. He was hooping as well on the offensive side. Now, I'm not going to say, now LeBron wasn't out there playing like the best defense. He was kind of saving his energy on the offensive end, as we expect.
As LeBron does.
Right, exactly. Especially
when the games don't matter.
Exactly. But he was hooping on the offensive side. I think he had around 20 points as well. And every time he scored, he's looking in the crowd. Yeah. You see it. And LeBron's just like giving him the look. It's like almost every time he scores, LeBron would call for the ISO. I'm like, you done messed up.
I'm sorry, but it is your duty as a human being, if you get anything over LeBron in that game, to gas that up for the rest of your life. You mentioned that national championship. I'm going to lie to my kids about the final score of that with the swiftness. If you told me I played against LeBron James, I'd be telling them people I dunked on him. Go and find the tape. I dare you. By the way, do you know the cameraman at the Drew League?
There was a lot of them there.
Whoever had the feed that was going out over the NBA app, I felt bad for that man because given a job that was certainly outside of what he expected going into that day.
Oh, 100%. Like I told you guys before, there were literally, like, it was not an inch of space there to shoot this. And, like, the cameraman were trying to squat down on one knee, lay to the side. They're trying to find any way to get any sort of angle of the actual game because there was no space at all. It was a standing room only. I stood up the entire time with those heavy-ass LeBrons on. My feet was hurting. My beautiful wife, I had to ask her to rub my feet at the end of the day, a duty that I know she didn't want to do.
Wow.
Shout out wives.
Yeah. Shout out to the wives, man. We need y'all. We love y'all.
Okay, let me do this. So you've been boots on the ground in L.A. for a very long time.
Yes. Your
boy, Gojo, just moved here a couple months ago. But he stays on the road. I'll give you his address. You can pop up on him. But in your opinion, why does LeBron James do this? Why now, after that season, like, after, since 2011?
Yes.
Like, why now, going into year 20, should LeBron gas up L.A. in this way?
I think, you know, after last season, Lakers missing the playoffs, there's a lot of negativity going against the Lakers, especially even this offseason as well, as far as, like, they haven't really made any major moves. So, you know, the way things are looking right now, it doesn't feel like the Lakers are going to be a top contender. We'll see, obviously, as the season progresses. But I really think LeBron is trying to just use this as a way to connect more with the community. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, it is year 20, but he's only been with the Lakers. What was this, year four now?
This would be year four.
This should be year five. Going into year five? No?
They missed the play. They missed the playoffs the first year. Pandemic year the second year. 2021 last year, so this would be four.
Oh, shit. Yeah, and he's in Brentwood, so he's kind of removed from the community, quote unquote.
Good point. So you pull up to, you know, the King Drew, that's right there between Compton and Watts. Like, you're in the middle of it. So I just think he wants to really pull up and kind of get that connection with the people, with the city, in hopes to really, you know, bring on more support going into year 20.
I think it's fascinating just the idea that, like you said, because why would LeBron James do this? But what he ended up giving people on the back end was the experience of a lifetime.
Oh, yes.
Whether you were a person that played against him, you were a person in that gym. Like, I'm trying to think of another example in sports where you could have one of the greatest players to ever do it go in an environment like this. Like, I think it's very unique to basketball to have a space where that's even possible.
Absolutely.
Because, like, you couldn't have Ray Lewis run up on somebody.
Go kill some kids?
In some
I shouldn't use that word. Like, I shouldn't use that word.
Careful on that one, allegedly.
Hit people very hard.
Yeah. But like I said, like, there is, I can't think of another sport where you'd have an opportunity to potentially square up face-to-face with someone who's in the conversation for the greatest of all time.
I think the closest example that I could think of was probably Brandon Newman when he came to Ball State. Playing against, I think it was Central Michigan. There's a famous clip. You can find it on YouTube. He gives this infamous, this speech was amazing. I can't remember what he said, but he's in tears. He's fist pumping. He had all of us crying. Was it Central Michigan, Brandon?
No, that was Toledo. We beat a ranked Toledo on election night.
Yes.
And actually, your dad gave me a shout-out before the game. Somebody texted me and was like, make sure to watch Ball State against ranked Toledo election night. After you get done watching the election, Brandon Newman starting nose guard. So, shouts out to your dad.
Shout out to you, man. Yeah. All right, getting the crowd hyped.
Now, when he's talking about, he's mixing up plays because in Central Michigan, I did a little nose around on Matt Fisher. Who's the number one?
Eric Fisher.
Eric Fisher. He went first round. Y'all know. I did a little stunt on
him. Work.
Sack. You know what I'm saying? There's a couple picks. And whatever. You know, I balled out when I was at Ball State. You know, that's what you do. But yeah. Oh, speaking of that, do you think Ball State will leave the MAC?
We'll leave the mat.
Deep cut right here. I was going to say, is everyone in Southern California here? I don't know if we have any USC or UCLA fans. Welcome to Big Ten country.
Yes.
You can now put ranch dressing on everything.
Yes.
I know you think.
You're welcome.
No, Mike, certainly you don't mean everything. I promise you, you can put it on everything.
You can try
it. I have been Midwestern at heart for a long time now. You can go ahead and throw that into the arteries. It feels good.
Yes, yeah. I put ranch on everything.
Exactly.
We had a submission from the crowd
for America's favorite fan right there.
I don't know how many of us heard, but
oh my god,
I didn't.
Oh my god,
I didn't either. But no. I love the energy.
That is some great energy here. That is the kind of great energy that you guys can catch out calling Drew League games. All the time.
Yes.
Not just some of the time here. As well as the Porch Podcast.
Yes.
Please check that one out.
Check
download,
out.
Subscribe, rate, and review. Darnell, we appreciate you coming up here and taking us inside what was the most important gym in the country yesterday.
Yes, sir, man. I appreciate it, man. Have me back on, man, anytime. You're in L.A., let's grab a bite to eat.
There we go. Come done. We're going to make it happen.
Yes, sir.
Darnell Smith, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
In my sports career, we always got preached the importance of the little things, whether it's having your hand behind the line on a sprint, finishing out every drill, or making sure you have the right 6-inch step to start a drive block on the offensive line. It all mattered. How you do the little things is how you're going to do everything, because small actions have big benefits. This is just like how taking care of your gut health can support your whole body health. With our friends at Seed and Seed's DS01, their daily symbiotic benefits your gut, skin, and heart health in just 2 little capsules a day. I'm getting my first shipment on the way here, and I am pumped to try it out. The thing that stands out to me, in addition to all the great health benefits, is the convenience. You don't have to refrigerate DS01, and so the free travel vial that I'm going to get with the welcome kit, I can take on the go with me. I can have DS01 with me wherever I need it during my busy schedule. Your guy's gut is the central hub for all these various pathways throughout your body, and a healthy gut microbiome means benefits for digestion, skin health, heart health, your immune system, and more. And everything with DO1 is backed by science. lots of science. It was developed in collaboration with Seed's scientific board and based on their foundational work in probiotics and the microbiome. And with the new clinical trials and breakthrough research published in top scientific journals, Seed's probiotic research, development, and innovation programs make DSO1 a product you know you can trust. And the best part with prebiotics and probiotics, they work best when they are consistently used like any other routine health habits. So Seed's subscription service is easily going to build DSO1 into your routine with no refrigeration needed. So trust your gut with Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/gojo and use code 25GOJO to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/gojo, code 25GOJO.
Brandon.
Yeah.
We've gotten through the guests here.
Yes.
So you know what time it is now?
What it is what it was.
Brandon. You know what time it is now.
Don't do that. Right, not right now.
No, Brandon, right now.
Right now?
Right now.
Hey, hey, this, that, and third.
Wow, was that, okay, was that Rockstar by Nickelback?
I tried to, just because we talked about it earlier.
Yeah.
And I wasn't prepared for this so, to do.
Brandon put me on game a while back. Every once in a while, some cultural differences will pop up between the two of us, and he'll have to explain some words to me. And Brandon, when we were getting ready to do this show, kind of explain how we got here.
I said basically enlisting things, often Caucasians, people from the Caucasus Mountains, will say this, that, and the other, or this, that, and what I don't know what it is.
In a matter of fact,
well, yeah. Usually, sometimes African Americans usually say this, that, and the third. It's very, rolls off the tongue, they're talking about things, this, that, and the third. So we made our segment kind of recapping the accoutrement in the news cycle, this, that, and the third.
Like I say, it's like the side dishes around the main course.
Amen.
Here.
Sweet potatoes, you know, all the things you love at Thanksgiving.
All right, well, Brandon, now that we have that out of the way, and now that you gave us, I try and challenge Brandon to sing a different song or find a different way to open it every time here.
Yeah.
He peaked with Papa Roach the other day. I think people are still going to want that one, but Nickelback, for this audience, very appropriate.
Yes.
Brandon, let's get to this first. We had the Open going on in the world of golf, and Cameron Smith came back and beat Rory McIlroy. That is not the story to me. The story is the quote that he gave after the fact, which is Cam Smith, when asked about winning and what that meant to him, said, "I'm definitely going to find out how many beers fit in this thing." And I know we only associate this usually with the Stanley Cup and that trophy,
yes.
But Brandon, I feel like that should be more of the focus for every trophy in sports, is to make it an appropriate receptacle for beer, because then you have more pictures of it, you get it all out there. You couldn't put that in the crystal ball in college football. You can't drink beer out of Lombardi,
true.
Which makes them lesser trophies.
That's okay. Okay. I say every trophy that is above amateur, let's see how much beer we can put in it.
Yes. I feel
is that fair?
You should be able to drink or eat out of it here because, again, you want there to be a story associated with your trophy.
But also, that trophy isn't that big. Like, maybe he can eyeball that. That's like two and a half beers.
That is true. But, you know, again, maybe you go over the top here. Maybe you start to upgrade the trophy once people get a little more taste of that. But that being said, congratulations to Cameron Smith, who, as was pointed out by DraftKings' very own Emerson Lazia, went to Jacksonville and then immediately started growing a mullet. He couldn't stop doing it. It just happened naturally. So
sometimes you got to do what the Romans do.
When in Rome. Brandon, let's get to that. Because, man, we love on this podcast dunking on the NCAA when they do dumb stuff.
Love it.
And the NCAA decided to do dumb stuff again. Coming off of what had been an exciting, like, college baseball and college softball are a blast to watch. If
Lit.
You haven't checked them out, it's an awesome TV product. I say that especially this year because Notre Dame managed to make it to Omaha.
Yes.
So shout out to them on that one.
Tennessee and SEC doing big things.
Well, and that's where Tennessee comes into the crosshairs because the NCAA had a meeting. And one of the items that came up in their meeting was that starting in the 2023 season, celebratory props would not be allowed to use outside of the dugout. Now, if you watch Tennessee and some other teams in here, they had in a season where they hit 158 home runs, they would have a cheetah fur coat and a daddy hat for whoever hit that to celebrate. They would go there in style on them after they hit that home run, and the NCAA, looking at fun being had by young people, thought, no, we got to stop this now. So, Brandon, at this point, I almost respect their complete lack of ability to learn or change despite being a governing body for institutions of higher learning. Like, I almost have to respect how tone-deaf they are now.
Yeah, I almost respect the consistency of them constantly trying to suck the fun out of every inch of the game, even the ones that they don't have rules about. Like, oh, let's make a quick bylaw to make sure that as we had a chirp from the crowd, Fun Police is on full alert right now.
I'm telling you, all I say is this. If they come for any of the sideline things like the turnover chain, we got turnover chainsaws now in college football. If they come for any of that, that might be what finally unites us enough to revolt and break away the Power Five and do that whole thing. We might be ready.
I hope it's not the silly trophies that does it. I hope it's something more meaningful.
No, listen, college football and college sports in general are a place for us to be really dumb. That is the perfect play to do it. But Brandon, let's get to the third here, because the third might be my favorite story related to college sports to come out of the last week. Did you see the Walker Hayes song that got internet shamed into oblivion by the SEC and their fans?
No.
So, you know how every year usually it's like Centuries or some Fall Out Boy song that college football tries to use to be the song of the year? Well, Walker Hayes did a song called Y'all Life.
Yes.
That, as I saw one commenter on the internet said, simultaneously made country music, hip-hop, and church all worse at once.
Worse?
Worse.
That's hard to do.
So our good friend of the podcast, Jason Fitz, was in the video, did a phenomenal job on his part, but the SEC, the football conference's main account, tweeted out, this might be the song of the football season right here. Walker Hayes, want a collab. Brandon, that tweet lasted all of 2 hours before the internet so shamed it that the SEC had to delete the tweet. Like, Walker Hayes just had a quote tweet up with nowhere to go because they deleted that and might have to go back to the drawing board on this one here.
V2's coming soon.
I don't know Walker Hayes enough to like or dislike him, yeah, but I do feel bad because that's got to be a tough one. You think you just lined up, because when your song is the song of football season on one, yes, of those networks,
yes,
you get paid.
Yes.
You get big paid. And he might have, yes, just gotten, ask, I mean, because listen.
Ask Flo Rida in My House.
Yes. Or
Welcome to My House. They couldn't stop playing that song.
Couldn't stop playing it anywhere, Brandon. Couldn't stop playing it anywhere. So
it is tough for him. You would hope there's enough focus groups that went around before they rolled it out to like, okay, this is ready for primetime. It clearly was not ready for primetime.
I mean, no, it might have been ready for primetime. It wasn't ready for Twitter. You can't send that to the meanest place on earth. They're going to chew up anything there, especially like, we don't deal with things straightforward on Twitter. We are layered in irony. We are, yes, layered in sarcasm.
Yes.
That is the love language we communicate in. You can't be giving them stuff like this that's just like, you know, the bottom of the food pyramid.
It's just the packaging. It was all the packaging. It shouldn't have been said. It was the song of the song. It was just like, hey, check this new thing out, Y'all Life. And they were like, oh, let's see if we like it. When you get told, yep, this is the best new thing, you're like, eh.
Nope.
It's a problem that Drake has every album.
Yes. It's the battle that you and I fight with every album, because I didn't want to bring this up now, but I've gone back and listened to the latest Drake album, and it's starting to be okay to me.
Don't do that.
I'm
don't
just
that.
Telling you. It,
he's
every
just
time,
successful enough that he only has to rap on one song, and it's the last song of the album.
I'm just saying,
and,
man, I think
he
realized
the shit off the rest
that the dance music was a place where you could start to make some money here. Like, him and Beyonce,
listen,
are just good at making money.
I'm not vacuuming my house all the time. That's what Drake music is good for, like doing chores around. I'm done. I don't want
to
hear it.
Maybe anymore. That's it. I've been going to Target a lot lately and doing a lot of chores, putting a lot of furniture together. So
listening
that might
to Drake
to
at
it.
Target.
And look, it feels right. That's how you know we're at the age we're at right now, where the songs of our youth are now the background noise inside of grocery stores and shopping centers.
I love it.
It's a humbling place to be, but it's a place we love to be nonetheless. This is also a place that we have loved being here. Thank you to everyone who managed to come out here and hang out with us. Please keep hanging out. We got shade and a breeze over here, which is a lot.
Thank
right
you for
now.
All 300 of you that are here.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, you're set back. We can barely hear you. We love all you. We're signing autographs. Mike is signing autographs.
They've been lighting things on fire in the crowd. It's like Woodstock,
yes,
here. It's insane. We'll
Burning
be back
Man.
Tomorrow here around the same time. If you're around FanFest, we'll be back here around the same time. Going to do the podcast again tomorrow. Thank you guys again. As always, download, subscribe, rate, and review Gojo wherever you get your podcasts. We're going to watch each and every one of you do it right now with your phone. So.
Mike, we put a 4 to 6 year old to sleep.
No. Yeah, it was our approachability and our, exactly.
Oh, yes. Oh, nap music. Oh,
yes.
We got to get into the nap game.
I'm telling you, man,
wow.
Said that in your tweets. Listen,
wow.
As someone with a newborn nephew right now who sees how little my brother and his wife are sleeping, you guys are welcome. We are here for any valuable pub. Oh, listen, I'm going to keep them coming. I promise they won't get any better anytime soon. That sounds like something you could review. Thank you. Sign into Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating. Tell everybody how we put your child to sleep here. Make sure you share the podcast with your friends. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate it. We'll see everyone back here tomorrow.
In my sports career, we always got preached the importance of the little things, whether it's having your hand behind the line on a sprint, finishing out every drill, or making sure you have the right 6-inch step to start a drive block on the offensive line. It all mattered. How you do the little things is how you're going to do everything, because small actions have big benefits. This is just like how taking care of your gut health can support your whole body health. With our friends at Seed and Seed's DSO1, their daily symbiotic benefits your gut, skin, and heart health in just 2 little capsules a day. I'm getting my first shipment on the way here, and I am pumped to try it out. The thing that stands out to me, in addition to all the great health benefits, is the convenience. You don't have to refrigerate DSO1, and so the free travel vial that I'm going to get with the welcome kit, I can take on the go with me. I can have DSO1 with me wherever I need it during my busy schedule. Your guy's gut is the central hub for all these various pathways throughout your body, and a healthy gut microbiome means benefits for digestion, skin health, heart health, your immune system, and more. And everything with DO1 is backed by science. Lots of science. It was developed in collaboration with Seed's scientific board and based on their foundational work in probiotics and the microbiome. And with the new clinical trials and breakthrough research published in top scientific journals, Seed's probiotic research, development, and innovation programs make DSO1 a product you know you can trust. And the best part with prebiotics and probiotics, they work best when they are consistently used like any other routine health habits. So Seed's subscription service is easily going to build DSO1 into your routine with no refrigeration needed. So trust your gut with Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/gojo and use code 25GOJO to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/gojo, code 25GOJO.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.